and have this opportunity to gather together with God's people and to study and minister and to see God at work in our midst here. I want to do something a little different. I'm going to have all of our elders, men who have served as elders this last year, I want you to stand up for me. And we just praise the Lord for you men who have served. I saw Bruce earlier. He must be downstairs, huh? Oh, taking the little one. Okay. Yeah. I just want to say thank you, men, for serving as elders this past year. You know, we come to this moment in the history of our church where we give thanks for everything he's done this past year, and we need men to serve. You can stay standing. Stay standing. And I'm going to ask all of our deacons if you would stand also. All of our deacons. And I want to say thank you to each of you for serving this past year. And just, this has been a time of transition for this church body. And so many of you have stepped up and served in so many wonderful ways. And we give you thanks and give the Lord thanks for you and for your ministry of service on behalf of this church body. Now you may be seated. There's a few more that I want to recognize this morning, a few more of our servants. Brett, could you stand? And Brenda's down with the children. But as you know, Brett serves, leads our music team, serves as our youth pastor here, and we give thanks to the Lord for him and what he's done this past year. And for Brenda and Ryan this past year, as they've served in the children's ministry, and just give thanks for these servants. I'm not done yet. I want to have all those of you that have served as ushers and greeters this past year, I want you to stand. If you served as an usher or greeter, please stand. We praise the Lord for you and your service and the wonderful opportunity. And then I want to, those of you that have served in the nursery, keep standing. See, I know I'm making you uncomfortable, but please stand. Those of you that have served in the nursery with the toddlers, served in Awana, taught a Sunday school class, stand, please. We give thanks to the Lord for each of you, for the ministry that you've offered here. In the name of the Lord, and served on behalf of this church body, we give thanks to you. The reason why this church is what it is because the Lord Jesus has raised up servants like you. And so thank you. You may be seated. There are so many others. There are those who serve on committees, women's committees, missions committee. There are those that lead Bible studies and lead discipleship groups. So many different servants in this church body, and I just wanted to recognize each of you this morning and give thanks to the Lord for each of you. And it fits with the message that we have this morning as we prepare our hearts for communion. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Everything's going to feel a little bit different this morning, and that's a good thing. Lots of things that we want to see God do even today. And so we need to pray and ask the Lord to work in our midst. Let's pray together. And Lord, we thank you again for the work that you do, the testimony and the forgiveness of sins. Lord, I pray that you would minister to us through the teaching of your word. Lord, we pray this morning that you would give comfort to Sherry and her family, and as they would grieve the death of her dad and such a faithful man Buzz was for so many years. Lord, give them comfort. We thank you for the way that you've glorified yourself in recent days in giving them comfort in conversations they had and even time they spent together with Buzz in his final days and moments here on earth. But we're glad that he's with you now. Full of joy, no more suffering. Would you comfort each of these dear loved ones, and as they would grieve, that you would grant them comfort and peace and joy. Sustain them and help them and be with them. Lord, we pray this morning also for Tony and Rick as Tony's going through open heart surgery. Be with her. Give the doctors wisdom and skill. Comfort Rick. And we just pray that this would be a great day where you'd show forth your glory, your power, your majesty, your grace in their lives. We thank you that she's able to get into the surgery so quickly, and yet even now we wait to hear what is being accomplished. We commit her in your care, praying that you would glorify your name, that your will be done. Lord, would you make us a people who pray more, who are more devoted to prayer, that we would fervently pray to you and ask in the name of Jesus the things that we desire for you to do in our lives. And in these two families, we ask, Lord, that you would display your glory, give your grace, show forth your loving kindness, that they would know the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that indeed they would have great comfort. And we would rejoice and give thanks as you would put your power and grace on display in and through them in these days. Lord, we pray that we would give our attention to your word, that the emphasis and the focus and the efforts of this church body would be because of what you've said, because of what we believe your word to say, that we commit ourselves to you even more as a church body and be consecrated, devoted, sanctified, holy, set apart to accomplish not merely a mission that is of men, but indeed the mission of God and the ministries that you've called us to and that you've given us. We thank you and praise your name for the privilege we have to be together this way today. Give us understanding in your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, this is, again, a little bit of a different message with things that are happening today and the focus and giving us the emphasis and the reality of where we've been this last year and all the things that God has done. We give thanks to the Lord as we have this opportunity today, our annual celebration, and to give testimony and give thanks to God, for He is our God and the one who has provided. And I really want to emphasize this morning our testimony as a church body. What is the testimony that we are to have? 1 Peter chapter 4, look with me at verses 7 to 11. Peter writes, "The end of all things is near, therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who speaks is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." This testimony that Peter gives to us here, in helping us understand, I want to put our focus and emphasis this morning on these things, and there's so much that is here for us. I really want to focus in on verses 10 and 11. And I want us to see our Christian testimony as a church body with these four main ideas: that we are serving others with gifts from God as good stewards according to the grace of God, so that God would be glorified through Jesus Christ. That we would give thanks to the Lord for who He is and what He's doing in our midst. The salvation that we have. That indeed these verses are given to us as Peter would write to these churches that were suffering and enduring persecution, that we would give our attention and we would receive instruction, and that we would have direction from God in the way that we ought to be. That we would be disciples of Jesus that are more involved, more invested in the lives of others. This passage to us gives us so much instruction that if we look at verse 10, we see first of all here serving others with gifts from God as good stewards. What God has given us to be for serving others, look at it, verse 10. "As each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." This is such a wonderful truth for us. Because each and every one of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus, each and every one of us have been given a gift. And we're to use that gift in serving others. So much of the talk about church in our culture is how the church serves me. What will it do for me? And yet the biblical instruction and God's testimony to us is something altogether. We have been given a gift, a giftedness, that we might serve one another. Sacrificially and humbly serve one another, that we would be serving others with gifts from God as good stewards, because what God has given us to be for serving others, we having our gifts and these abilities that each one of us has. Everyone, look at it, verse 10, as each one has received a special gift. You could even call it a grace gift, a gift that is we have received, not because we've earned it or because we asked for it, but because of God's grace, and we are to be putting on display. Did you notice in verse 10? As good stewards and serving one another as good stewards, the manifold grace of God. There is to be a great beauty to the ministry of a local church as each one who's been given gifts and a giftedness and the abilities that God has given us, that we would serve one another, that the manifold grace of God would be on display. That we would look back and say, wow, look at how God has equipped and the way that He has supplied in this church body such gifted individuals with so many abilities to serve. And this really hits to the very heart of the matter, because the church, as they were suffering and being persecuted, it would have been greatly tempting for them to have a me-first mentality, become more self-centered and preserve ourselves and look to our own interests and not the interest of others. But what God has given us to be for serving others, isn't this wonderful? That each one has received a special gift. As Christians, you have a special gift, and it needs to be our Christian testimony, what God has given you in gifted abilities. It's wonderful when you think about the fact that God, we believe that God is creator. He is sustainer. He is the provider. He is the one who blesses. I don't know if you've ever considered the reality that if God has placed you in this body, He has created you and designed you with a very specific purpose that He has in mind for you to serve others in this church body. Isn't that wonderful? That every single one of us are useful, can be used of God. And God created us and designed us that way so that we would show and manifest the manifold grace of God that in such a variety of ways. Look with me over at Romans chapter 12 in this testimony of the gifts that God has given. Romans chapter 12, listen to these words. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. It's wonderful. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And you see that list of gifts that Paul would lay out for us and helps us identify that those are the kinds of gifts that the Lord has given to this body, gifted individuals to serve in that way. And it's all according to the grace that is given us. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. See the same testimony given. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by every joint supplies according, look at this, according to the proper working of each individual part. Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. If you go back to 1 Peter chapter 4 and you see again, as each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And this is the wonderful thing about this giftedness and this gift that we have received to serve others. God may use the skills and the experience and the training that we receive, but often those things are to, as it were, make us more useful. We want to learn more and gain experience and increase our skills so that we can be made more useful. It's a fascinating testimony that God gives to us in His Word. That when the tabernacle was being built, over and over again there was this expression that is made. And God says this, "And in the hearts of all who are skillful, I have put skill." As they began to build the tabernacle, God gave certain ones certain skills, and He put it in their hearts to use those abilities and those skills to contribute to the building of the tabernacle. Isn't that wonderful? And then it's even more than that, because there were skilled men and there were skilled women. And then He goes on in Exodus 35 and says, "And He has filled them with skill to perform every work of an engraver and designer and embroiderer and perform of every work and makers of designs." Our Creator God gives people the opportunity to be creative in the use of the skills and the abilities according to the instruction that He's given us. I love the fact that it says every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary. And then it says this in Exodus 36, "And every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him." We all know what that's like when you go and you do something and you're like, "Wow, God created me and designed me to be able to do this." I want each and every one of you to experience it in a greater way, in a fuller way. To be useful in the hand of the Master. To recognize the special gift that you've been given and to employ it in serving one another here at New Life Fellowship. That there would be the manifold grace of God on display. That we would look out and go, "God is so gracious to give so many gracious gifts to so many people in this body. There's so many ways that people can be served." Sometimes when we're looking for things to be done, we ought to just say, "Lord, we know You've given gifts. May You stir up the hearts of those who have such gifts that they would serve others." And that becomes the very heart of the use of the gift, right? It is other-orientated. He'll go on later on and talk about it being God-centered, but here it's other-oriented. Serving, look at it again, "As each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another." What a wonderful testimony we can have. There. God has so graciously given so many gifts as a manifold grace of God on display, and they're serving one another. Look at that. Look at how good God is and how gracious He is. And so not only what God has given us to be for serving others, but what God has given us to do is serving others. We can't miss it, can we? Verse 10, "As each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another." Sometimes people might say this, "Well, I'm not sure where I fit in here. I'm not sure how the Lord wants to use me." He wants you to serve. And he wants you to experience the great joy and blessing of being used by him to minister to others in the way that he has gifted you. That there be joy in your heart and that you will be full of praise to God that he has given you such abilities and he has placed you in this body that others would benefit in your service for their sake, because God is so gracious and good to provide you as a gifted individual in this church body. That's wonderful. That transforms ministry into something altogether different than just simply doing tasks. I'm actually accomplishing what my Creator God has designed and created me and has gifted me because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. I can be a gifted individual with ability to serve others. So go do some serving. Be about serving. Every week in our bulletin, we have lots of serving opportunities. As Jesus demonstrated for us in the Gospel of John, that you need to wash some feet. You need to humbly and sacrificially love others in a way that demonstrates you want to serve them. Sometimes we need to just look around and ask the question, how can I serve them? How do they need me to serve them? Lord God, how have you gifted me so that I might serve them? In our Christian testimony here, it's not only that God has given you certain gifted abilities, but also that what God has called you in ministry responsibilities, that not only that we having our gifts and the abilities that God gives, but serving with our gifts, it's a responsibility. Look at it again, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. To do this, as a Christian, you have a special gift, and as a Christian, you have a real stewardship, because notice the next phrase, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God wants us to take the gifts that he's given us and to steward them. What does that mean? That means that we take what we have. It's not our own. God has given it to us that it might be used by us for his namesake. Dear friend, every single one of us that are believers in the Lord have been given a giftedness to be used by the Lord in this church body. And it is a stewardship before God. It is not your gift. It is God's gift to you that you are to employ it in serving others. There's an accountability, a responsibility to God. And yet it is the manifold grace of God. It's not just, well, these are the five things, the five gifts that he's given out. You pick which one you want. Even each of the gifts that are listed, there's such a wide range and a variety of way they're expressed. Not every leader leads in the same way. Not every teacher teaches in the same way. Not every person who gives in the same way. But recognize it as a stewardship. God has given you to this body to be a good steward. Might our prayer be, Lord Jesus, help me be a good steward of the gifts that you've given me, that I would employ them in serving others in this church body. That's what will make our Christian testimony as a church body that much stronger. It's not the size of our ministry. It's not the beauty of our facilities. The Lord indeed is blessed in both of those ways. But let us never forget our Christian testimony as a church body, as that each one has received a special gift. We're to employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That people would look at this church and this community and say, wow, there is a bunch of gifted people who serve one another. And the grace of God is on display in such a variety of ways. It's beautiful. Something we need to consider here too, it is one of these issues about the gifts, that the number of gifted abilities for some, right? Some are gifted in certain ways. Often, though, and what you see as a testimony in the New Testament is that this number of gifted abilities for some are the Christian responsibilities for all. If you really begin to think about it, every spiritual gift is to be exercised by every Christian, but there are certain gifted individuals that find themselves in a position where they have greater capacity, and I would even say have a stronger desire, and even further would even say it this way, that they desire to use that gift on a regular basis and they see much fruit in their life through that. And so we don't walk around saying, well, that's not my gift. I don't do that. We don't do that. We should look around and say, how can I use the giftedness that God's given me to serve others here? Where is it going to look like? How am I going to serve? How am I going to understand the giftedness in this Christian testimony that I've been given, that we are good stewards and understand the imagery of a body that has been blessed as members? And so we're serving others with gifts from God as good stewards. We're good stewards. One man said it this way, by accepting our God-given role as stewards rather than owners, we recognize that everything we claim to possess is not ours, but God's, entrusted to us for a period of time to use as He directs. You understand, do you not? All of us have limited time. We have limited time to use the gifts that we've been given. God doesn't guarantee any of us, say, well, you get to use that gift for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Or hold that gift for a while for this 10-year period and it'll be really useful to me in 20 years from now. Dear friend, you're not guaranteed that time. And our stewardship, if we're going to be good stewards, we recognize right now the giftedness that God has given me, that He has placed me in this body of believers, that our Christian testimony is a church body, that each one, me, you, all of us who are believers, have been given a gift, received a gift, we're to serve one another, that there would be this manifest or manifold grace of God on display. Isn't that wonderful? And when he says the manifold grace of God, he's saying something wonderful here for us. It's so diverse. It has many kinds. It's diverse. It's various. A varied kind of service. A God-given ability for service. It is not just this and that only. There's such a wide range. But too many of us are looking back and saying, well, I'm kind of picking and choosing what I want to do. If we're not careful, the whole stewardship thing isn't that important to us. And we need to recognize that in a body of this size and all the believers that have been given, all the gifts that God has given us, that if each of us, if every individual here who has received a gift would seek to be a good steward in exercising that gift and serving others, what this church could become to manifest the grace of God, and God would receive the glory. I believe there's some gifts that are hiding out in this church body. And it does me no good to go around digging them up and pointing them out to you. Dear friend, you've got to recognize it in yourself, the instruction that God's given to us, and say, you have a place and a role in this body that is so important that it's to be a good steward, that our Christian testimony is a church body's at stake. And recognizing and understanding that and believing it. 1 Corinthians 12 says it this way, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. There's a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons, but each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. He goes on in that same passage in 1 Corinthians 12, but the one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually just as He wills. That the gift you have is as it were, given to you by the ministry of the Holy Spirit for you to use it in serving others, to give testimony of the work of the Spirit of God in our midst. For just as one, as the body is one and yet has many parts, all the parts of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. So how do we identify this? Well, he's going to go on in verse 11 and identify two main categories of gifts, speaking gifts and serving gifts. But I just want to ask you a couple questions here. I mean, I think all of us would have walked in this morning if somebody asked, do you believe God is the creator God? Oh, I believe he's the creator God. Do you believe that God has plans? Oh, I believe that God has plans. Well, dear friend, how has God created you and how has he designed you? What plans does he have for you and using the gifts that he's given you to serve others? That there would be this manifold grace of God on display. Could we just each of us ask ourselves the questions as we consider that? If God, the grace of God through a variety of gifts and abilities benefits the whole body of Christ for the glory of God, as we'll get to in verse 11, a couple questions. Where do I see opportunities for serving others? That's a great place to start. Where can I serve? You know, there are some who arrive very early on Sunday mornings, every Sunday, to serve. There are some who are doing things behind the scenes all the time to serve. Where do I already have experience and ability? Where am I willing to develop and learn and be trained in? What area of serving immediately interests me? And where have you seen blessing in the lives of others through your service? There's no greater joy, my friend, when you use your gift and you see the benefit that it brings to others and you say, oh yes, Lord, I understand that. And I desire every single one of us to understand that blessing. To be blessed and be a blessing to others. And that people would stand back and say, God is so good and so gracious to bestow such gifts that he's given to one like you by his grace to benefit this body this way. It's so wonderful. I think an important question that we need to ask ourselves also is, what burden am I willing to accept in self-sacrificing humble service? This is not about adding more. This is about reprioritizing. This is about doing more of what God has called us to do and less of some of the things that maybe we've been chasing after. We can become diligent and disciplined in the matters of using the gifts that we have. That each one of us would say, this is how I'm serving New Life Fellowship in this way. This is the way that God has gifted me, that the body would benefit from my serving others, and this is how I'm serving others and using the gifts that I've been given so that the manifold grace of God is on display and God gets all the glory, because he says, look at what he does in the life of sinners that are so undeserving, unworthy of his grace, and yet he gives it to us, and we can say, I can't believe God has given you that gift, brother. He gets all the glory. That's the point of verse 11. As we understand this, serving others with gifts from God as good stewards, we recognize that serving others according to the grace of God so that God in all things would be glorified through Jesus Christ. That should be our Christian testimony as a church body. Look at verse 11. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who's speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who's serving by the strength that God supplies. You can't miss what Peter's saying here. How we do this serving others with the gifts that are given, we do it with words and deeds, and we do it in such a way that we speak that God's word would be proclaimed. That would be the message, his message. Whether we're teaching or exhorting or encouraging, discipling, evangelizing, counseling, that the use of speech in the life of these gifted individuals is communicating truth that is God has testified to and delivering God's word. The things that God has said those who are gifted with the gifts of speaking say? It's not the one who can talk a lot. It's not the one who's got great orator ability, who can stand in front of a crowd and speak for 30 minutes and impress people. No, this is one who understands that the word of God must be delivered, must be taught, and I believe built into the one who speaks is one who also gives themselves discipline and diligence and studying and preparation and knowing what the Bible says and what God's word, so when they speak, it's God's word, not their own word. And so built into each of these gifts is a discipline of time, sacrifice, and how you spend your time. And we should praise God for each one who prepares each week to teach a lesson in this church body. And sometimes we need to just go up to them and say, thank you, brother, thank you, sister, for spending 4, 5, 6, whatever hours you spent this week that some others in this church body spend doing other things. But you spent time alone in God's word so that you would speak and use your speaking gift and speak the very word of God. And then he says, whoever serves as by the strength which God supplies. It's both words and deeds, right? Look at verse 11. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who's speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who's serving by the strength which God supplies. Do you get the idea here that each of the gifts that are used, whether in speaking gifts or in serving gifts, God should be the one who gets the glory? We all agree on that. Oh, God, be glorified. We want him to be glorified. But do you understand, dear friend, that you're robbing God of his glory if you're not using a speaking gift or a serving gift in a way that gives attention to him and glory to him? Are we not impressed at times with people that we say, wow, look at how they're able to speak things and recall things from God's word? It didn't happen by accident. They have gifts, and we benefit from those gifts. People that serve in ways like, look at how they serve. And it's the strength which God supplies because God is the one on display. And that helps us understand these gifts and how we do this serving others with the gifts that God has given, that the words of God and the deeds of God will be on display. That is both the word of God, the speech of God, right, his word, and the strength which God supplies. That verse 11, notice it, so that there's our purpose in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? To think through the testimony that God has given, that we would be a people that can glorify his name and lift him up and exalt him. Because why? He to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It is what we will do in heaven forever and ever, giving glory to God. And we have the privilege, dear friend, with these limited days, with these limited opportunities at times, to give God the glory in our speaking gifts and our serving gifts, that he would be glorified through Jesus Christ, that we would demonstrate why we have been saved, that he would be glorified in the use of gifts by those who are Jesus. In Jesus' church. If you notice on your notes, I've given you a paragraph there to try to summarize this for us. Whatever we do in ministry for people is always because of what God has done for us. And we are enabled through what God is doing through us. God then is in the proper place in our lives in this church when we will serve others as good stewards according to the grace of God. And therefore, such gifted and graced ministries produce God-centered doxology in our Christian testimony as a church body. Do you see the relationship between the glory of God and the gifts that he's given? He's done it to put his glory on display. And imagine what would happen if every single believer here at New Life Fellowship was using the gifts that you've been given, and that we were employing them and exercising them and serving others in such a way that the manifold grace of God was on display. Those who are speaking as the utterances of God. Those who serve as the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God would be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. That there be a doxology of everything that is going on, because God is so good and gracious to give such gifts. It's wonderful when you think of it that way, that God gives gifts and He grants grace and He gets the glory in our Christian testimony as a church body. So notice the conclusion there. And I've written these down, and it's a little more extensive than we normally have, but thinking through these things as our Christian testimony as a church body, I really want you to review these, to go back to them again and again. First of all, see the relationship between the gifts of God, the grace of God, and the glory of God in serving one another as a church body. There's this wonderful relationship with the gifts that have been given and the grace that God has bestowed and the glory that He receives as we serve one another as a church body. That we're pursuing spiritual growth, which results in Christian maturity, so that we might use our gifts in more mature ways for benefiting others. Have you ever thought of your spiritual maturity that way? I want to grow, and I want to be more mature, so I can use my gifts in greater ways that would benefit more people. I would have more words that God has in His Word that I understand, and I'd more strength that God would supply so that I can serve more. Mature. And helping us understand that. That we would know and learn the spiritual gifts so that we would all be serving in ways which God has equipped for this church body. The community groups are going to be talking about spiritual gifts this summer. Encourage you to be part of one. To learn about these gifts. There are many ways to see this Christian testimony here at New Life Fellowship. As a church body with ministries and serving others, that we would humbly and sacrificially and obediently using the gifts that we've been given. That we'd be strengthening the Christian testimony of this church body, being good stewards of the grace of God. That we would be more involved and more invested in the lives of others, in serving others. It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require humility. It's going to require for you to and I to not seek our own glory, but the glory of God. And finally, ask for help from God to see how He has gifted you for serving others so that He would be glorified here at New Life Fellowship with the present opportunities for serving, with the present needs that we have for people to serve, for the present plans that we want to see God do through the serving of others. Because God has placed you here as a uniquely gifted individual, that you would employ those gifts in serving others according to the manifold grace of God, that in all things that are done here that God would be glorified. Would you take some time this afternoon, this week, and read over these things again, read over these verses again, and very personally say, Lord, what have You gifted me to do? And how have You called me to serve this church body, that our Christian testimony as a church body would be strong in this community? Let's pray together. Oh Lord, may You do that work in us by Your grace. You are the God who gives gifts. You are the God who grants grace. You are the God who gets the glory. May that be true in our lives. As we prepare our hearts for communion, may we see and understand the great love that You have for us and the way that You served us. That You called us to humbly and sacrificially serve one another. The very example that You've laid before us. I thank You for each one who's gifted. For the gifts that are on display and the ways that so many are serving one another. May You continue to bless us even as our time together here, that we'd recognize and indeed our Christian testimony as a church body would increase and grow in this community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
top. What a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, 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 what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, bloodless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be? Alleluia, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, 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 what a Savior. Alleluia, 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 what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all those ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, 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 what a Savior. Alleluia, 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 what a Savior.
You may be seated. As we partake of communion this morning, I'm going to ask that the men would come forward to distribute the elements, those that have been assigned to come forward. Yeah, come on up. Come on up, gentlemen. Thank you. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and the opportunity that we have here to celebrate communion together. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and so doing is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And then he would say, so then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. You do not need to be a member here at New Life Fellowship or partake of communion, but it does need to be the testimony of your life that you've asked the Lord Jesus to forgive you for your sins and that you're trusting in him alone for salvation. And if you're here today and you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus, I would call you. Put your faith in him. Believe in him. Ask him to forgive you for your sins. And so as the men would distribute the elements, beginning with the bread, let's spend some time examining our hearts. And then as the elements are distributed, then we all partake together, and then we'll distribute the cup.